Okay, so today is January 25th, 2017. I'm sitting here with George Lassiter Sr. I'm Monica Kronick, and Ed May is also joining us today. So thanks very much for coming here.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So my first question for you is, when and where were you born?
Okay, I'm from the state of Arkansas.
Okay.
A little town called Paragould. And I was born and raised there until I was about right out of high school. Then I joined the service. And then upon discharge from the service, I attended Arkansas State College at Jonesboro and got my degree in teaching.
Interesting.
And Paragould was an interesting little town. It was in the Bible Belt of the South. And I was literally... My mother and my grandmother raised me, and they were very, very religious. And they just churched me to death almost. Every time the doors opened, we had to be there. And belonged to the Church of Christ, and that was a very fundamentalist church. And if the preacher didn't preach for an hour, he wasn't doing his job. And in listening to him and all the sins that we could commit, I figured by the time I was 10 years old that I was not going to heaven. And the reason I wasn't going to heaven, in my little mind at that time, I'd gone to the movie to see Lassie Comes Home. So that was, that did me in. I was convinced. But growing up in Paragould was a very interesting little town, very family oriented, and my mother was a teacher and didn't make a lot of money, so I had to work to help provide my own clothes and things of that nature. And my jobs consisted of mowing lawns, delivering newspapers for the Memphis Press-Simeter. I also, as I got a little older, I was able to pick cotton. Cotton was $2.50 for 100 pound.
Wow, that's a lot of cotton.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't pick 100 pounds in a week. But we had a lot of Hispanic laborers came in, and they could pick 300 pounds a day.
Wow.
And so their work ethics were very good. Then I, beyond that, I delivered or packaged groceries for the local grocery store for 75 cents a day. And then I moved on to worked at the theater. I had a friend that his dad owned the theaters, so I worked at the theaters. And then my last year, I washed dishes at the local hospital. So I had a lot of multiple jobs, but fortunately my grandmother taught me work ethics. And so I was able to do those jobs, and then I joined the service. Graduated 1 month from Paragould High School, and I was at Lackland Air Force Base during basic training the next month, wondering what in the world have I got myself into. But I served almost 4 years. I got out a little early to go to college. And then from college, I got a degree in teaching. And my first, you couldn't make a living teaching in Arkansas. Arkansas at that time was, I think, next to Mississippi. Mississippi and Arkansas just kind of changed off each year as the lowest paying. So I got my first job teaching, and I just headed, got on my Volkswagen Bug and headed north. Got a job teaching in a suburb of Detroit called Wayne. And my first contract, I was making twice what my mother was making. And she had taught for 20 years in Arkansas. And then decided I couldn't handle the big city. I was a small town boy, so I met my wife at that time. She was a teacher also, and she had a relative in Boyne City, so we decided to try it up here, and drove up here, liked it. Both got jobs, taught school, fourth grade, here in Boyne City. Taught for about 7 years, and enjoyed every day of it. It was a great, great place to teach, especially the fourth and fifth.
Mm-hmm.
They were just very excited about everything that you did.
Yeah. Do you remember what years that was?
67, 68.
Okay.
And then I got a job, got a transfer to the ISD, Intermediate School District, as a counselor, school counselor. So I did that for a few years. And I always felt had a desire to get into the criminal justice system. And later on, I found out that I had 8 relatives who were county sheriffs.
Wow.
In one family, the Lassiter side, which is kind of interesting. So I got to know the district judge at that time, Wayne Richard Smith, and we got to talking. And Charlevoix County or Emmett County, he was the judge for both counties on the district court level. And there was no probation at that time for the district courts.
Hmm.
So he got a grant and hired me. So I left the school system and worked for the courts as a probation officer for quite a few years. Even set up the probation for Grand Traverse County and Sheboygan County.
Mm.
So it was a great, great challenge, a great way to see how the system worked.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed it. And then I got off one summer and was hired as a Marine officer for the Sheriff's Office. Worked the lakes and Walloon and Lake Charlevoix. And then I says, you know, this is, I think, what I want to do for the rest of my life, is stay in law enforcement. So I worked the summers there, and then I worked for Sheriff Sumner Friday night, all day Saturday, you know, on the road, and became a deputy at that time. Then I decided, you know, something's got me by the heart that I need to run for sheriff. I think there's an awful lot that can be done. So I did, and I was successful, and I was the first elected official in Charlevoix County that was not a local person to be elected to a political office.
Mm-hmm.
And I really upset the political family in Charlevoix County.
Mm-hmm.
Very upset people. And they took out false ads in the paper, encouraging people not to vote for me. Once I was elected, I had made some promises, and one was to establish a substation in Boyne Falls. Because at that time, everything came out of the county seat in Charlevoix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a haul in the wintertime to answer a complaint or an accident in this end of the county. So I had promised that, and I'm going to make that work. And I had 2 county commissioners. They didn't give me a penny for the substation, so I had to go out and solicit money to get the substation started. And I had 2 county commissioners. I went to the prosecutor at that time, who was Joe Hayes Sr. His son is now the circuit judge.
Yeah.
And he was a great prosecutor. And the commissioners approached him, and Anna Potter, who was the county treasurer, requesting a warrant for my arrest. And I'd just been in office like 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
And they wanted me arrested. And the reason they wanted me arrested was when I was soliciting money, I knew that I had to account for it in and out. So I got an account with the local bank, checking account, and I deposited everything and wrote checks to pay for any of the bills that we had. And that's against the law.
Oh.
And I didn't know it, but the commissioners were right. And it's supposed to go through the treasurer, the county treasurer, and then draw from there. So they approached that prosecutor, and he got him by the arm and led him out of his office. He says, "Don't you dare do something like this. This man did not know what the law was, and you're being ridiculous. Don't come back to me for something like this." So he and Anna Potter backed me up, and I realized the error of my ways, so I made the corrections, and we went on, and the substation's been a great, great asset.
Mm-hmm.
So I was elected 8 more times and served 32 years.
Wow.
As sheriff of the county, and that's the longest serving sheriff in Michigan. And so I knew that to be successful, that I had to surround myself with good people.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time to do that. And I made some mistakes, but I finally ended up with a cadre of good, solid deputy sheriffs and corrections officers for the jail. And I know I attended Chuck Bondra, who's the current sheriff, his swearing in, and had all the deputies there. And I looked at those deputies. I had hired 90% of them, and they were still there. So I
made the right choice.
Made the right choices. And the commissioners, since then, have been very good to the deputies. They've given them good contracts and good equipment. So
Philo was the sheriff when you came on board.
Yeah.
How was your relationship with Philo?
Good. When I decided to run, I went and told him. And there was no animosity at that time. He was very upset that I won, obviously, along with the county commissioners, and the political atmosphere in this county was very volatile at that time because I hadn't been elected. I've just finished a book about my 32 years as sheriff, and I have two boys and a girl. I says, the book is coming out, but I haven't named it yet.
Mm.
So I'd like for you to suggest names to me. And my youngest, George Robert, who is with the sheriff's office, came up with a great name. He said, Dad, you should name it A Seat on the Front Row.
Yeah.
That was very good.
I think so,
yeah. So that's what I'm going to title the book as. And in the book, I've got multiple chapters, but one of them was the hardest chapter to write. And I titled that chapter, A Knock on the Door You Never Want to Hear.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt that was the sheriff's responsibility if there was a death.
Mm-hmm.
To make notification. I didn't think a deputy should have to do that. So I took all the notifications myself. And I kept up a journal each year of everything that took place, interesting, unusual, tragic, whatever it may be. And I must have had in the back of my mind that someday I'd like to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and researched on this particular chapter, The Knock on the Door You Never Want to Hear. And I had to knock on over 100 doors.
Wow.
In Charlevoix County in that 32-year period. And I still remember, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always taught, the more you do something, the easier it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true with that particular assignment. And I had some interesting incidences that took place. Some of them had national attention. I was in a movie on something that we did.
What movie was that?
Well, that was the sinking of the Jablanka.
Okay.
Which was the Yugoslavian freighter that ran across and sank a Native American fishing boat, the Razzle Brothers, in Lake Michigan off of Beaver Island. And then we had another movie incident that, matter of fact, my cousin just saw a repeat of that movie on the television just last year. And it was about a girl that was, she was from Grand Rapids, and she fell in love with, she was 15, and she fell in love with a man in his 30s. And he took her and took off, ended up here in our county.
Yeah.
And the news agency followed him, followed the detective that was working it out of Kent County Sheriff's Office, and they made it into a movie. It was kind of an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm.
Want to ask another question, or should I just continue?
As a layman, I'm not really sure what... Maybe you could explain, your jurisdiction. Like, what did that include? So, Charlevoix County, were you involved in all of the cases in Charlevoix County, or...?
Well, we had three PDs, police departments, so they could handle their own.
Okay.
The sheriff has jurisdiction over those PDs, but, in order to keep peace in the valley, so to speak, he let them do their own investigations and their own enforcement. We could go in and do it, but very seldom did we... just push them aside unless the citizen felt that they weren't being handled properly.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do that. But that very seldom happened because we had good police departments at that time. And the sheriff is in charge of law enforcement for all the townships in the county, including Beaver Island.
Right, and yeah. That
which is, Beaver Island is a very unique assignment.
Yeah, I bet.
It was tough getting people to, deputies to work Beaver Island. I went through 3 deputies in one summer. One stayed 24 hours.
Wow.
So it has now gotten better because they've given them a place to live and taken better care of them. But again, that was something that I had difficulty with, trying to get money from the commissioners to. And that's the only authority a county commissioner has over an elected official,
mm-hmm.
is the finances, which is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
They can't tell him or her what to do, who to hire, who not to hire. But it's financially.
You also provide services to the court and the courthouses.
Yes, you're not just assigned at law enforcement agencies, but you have to run the jail.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you have to provide security for the courts. Bailiffs.
Wow.
So the sheriff's office in the state of Michigan is it's a well-rounded agencies, but a lot of responsibility.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's an elected position?
Every 4 years.
Got it. So wow. So people must have really, really liked you and thought you were doing a great job.
Either that or nobody else wanted it and wouldn't run. So
because they saw the list of responsibilities.
Well, when you consider that the office of sheriff used to be assigned by the king
right.
in England and in some of the other countries in Europe, it's evolved quite a ways.
Yes, it is. And I had, in my research, I mentioned earlier, I had 8 family members who were county sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them in the South. And one of them became famous in a movie called The Sons of Katie Elder.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which John Wayne, I think, was in it. And he was the sheriff of that area. And in the movie, he was killed.
Mm.
But in reality, he was not killed in the movie. He died from bad water in the jail. And so the movie took some liberties with the reality.
So what kind of training do you need to be sheriff?
Okay, in the state of Michigan, you could be the local barber, run for sheriff, and if elected, you're it.
Oh.
But fortunately, we have gotten beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, and the citizens know how responsible that position is, so they look at the candidates very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately for me, I had a degree in associate's degree in law enforcement. I'd had my experience. And once elected, I went to a new sheriff's school in Los Angeles and worked with the LA Sheriff's Office. And the state of Michigan put on a course for new sheriffs. So the training has really increased.
Yeah.
They realize that the legislatures realize the responsibility and have given us the proper training.
Mm-hmm.
For those positions.
So it sounds like you really are only accountable, other than financially, you're accountable to the citizens then.
Citizens are your boss.
Got it. So that must have made for some unique opportunities and challenges over the years.
Yes, it did. But for me, it wasn't all that bad because I enjoyed intermingling with the citizens, from the Polish festival to whatever festival is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And people appreciate, they want to see their sheriff in uniform, out and about. And I says, I'm not going to be the kind of sheriff that sits behind the desk. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had certain responsibilities that required me to sit behind the desk. But I tried to divide my time 4 hours and 4 hours. So I did road patrol, I handled complaints, had investigations, and that was a fit for me. I enjoyed enjoyed that part of the job.
George, what was it like when you went down to New Orleans after the big hurricane.
Okay, we had Katrina mm-hmm. in New Orleans. And the New Orleans Police Department and the Orleans Sheriff's Office, they were just overwhelmed. So the federal government put out a notice at FEMA, we will take care of all your expenses if you can come down and help. So there were three of us in my department at that time, my office. And so we went down, and they took good care of us. I've heard FEMA criticized a lot, but not in New Orleans at that time. They took mm-hmm. excellent care of us, and we worked. We didn't work with the New Orleans Police Department because, in reality, they didn't want us there because we were taken away from their overtime.
Oh, yeah.
So we worked more with the state, the Louisiana State Police. As a matter of fact, they swore us in as state police officers and gave us that authority. So that was a very unique experience. And I was a little... Well, I probably should have said there was an agency, nationwide agency that was collecting a lot of money for the victims of Katrina. And I never saw them once.
Well,
I was there for 2 weeks, didn't see one mm-hmm. representing that particular agency. But we were all over the city. There were still bodies around that we had to secure and pick up, and knocking on houses to make sure it was empty or there was nobody in there that couldn't get out or deceased in there. And the citizens really appreciated that extra cadre of officers. We had 100 from Michigan that went down. Everything from state police to sheriffs to city police to Native American mm-hmm. police. And we went down in a unit together with about, I think, 50, 60 patrol cars starting from Lansing, going all the way down mm-hmm. with lights on. So it was quite a scene to see, I'm sure.
Yeah.
From the side.
Wow.
I can see a civilian standing on the street alongside the highway, seeing that and saying, oh, somebody's in trouble.
Yeah. I've had some bad experiences in my tenure. I've been knocked out 3 times. My last incident, had a gunman that met me at the top of the stairs, and he was dressed like Rambo, and he had a shotgun. He took the barrel of the shotgun and smashed me right in the mouth. And I tumbled down the stairs. And when I woke up, and I was probably out for maybe a minute or two when I woke up, a pool of blood the size of a basketball I was laying in. And he had knocked out 4 front teeth, 4 lower teeth.
Oh my God.
Severed my lip. It was just dangling by a piece of skin. And they replaced the teeth and sewed the lip back on. I have nightmares about that about once a month. And when I wake up in the morning, I knew I had a nightmare because my bedroom looks like a grenade went off.
Wow.
Pillows everywhere. And the doctor said at the time, says, George, you're young enough because since you fell, you tumbled down this long flight of stairs, you're going to have some knee injuries. And they won't show now, and you're young enough that you can overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, when you get older, you're going to have some knee problems. And darn it, if you went right.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that I'm going to have replaced, but it just, my son says I shuffle. Mm-hmm. I don't walk, I shuffle around.
Oh.
Course, he likes to make fun of me.
Sons. They're good at it. I have a son. He likes to make fun of me, too. So it sounds like it doesn't sound like this was a job for you. It almost...
Making life.
Yes, exactly.
People asked me when I was first elected, who are you going to try to copy being sheriff-like?
Mm-hmm.
So I had 2 heroes. One was Sheriff Richard Zink from Emmett County. He was just a phenomenal sheriff for a small county. And the other, and people laugh when I say this, but it's true, was Andy Griffith.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked his style of small county sheriff. Mm-hmm. And, those were my two training officers that I enjoyed.
So you said one of your sons went into law enforcement. How did your kids receive your lifestyle? Did they like having your dad be the sheriff? Or?
You know, I've asked them that question several times, and even in the book, I asked them to write something. And my daughter Amy said it probably stopped her from being invited to some parties. And yeah. I understand that. So she said, it didn't bother me. And sometimes people would ignore her, and she said they weren't my true friends. Mm-hmm. But she had her circle of friends. My son George did bother him a bit. He did say that he was in the third or fourth grade when I was elected, first time. And a couple of kids in the elementary school who were in the sixth grade came up to him and said, "Are you George Lasseter's son?" Yes. They beat him up.
Oh my gosh.
And he said, when they finished beating him up, not severely, but roughed him up a little bit.
Well, yeah.
He says, "I won't forget who you are." And so and he hasn't.
Really?
And he said, now he's, I don't know if you ever met my son, George.
Yeah, yep. He's a big guy.
Yes, he is. And he was working road patrol in Wallen Lake one night. Stopped this car, and it was one of the guys got out of the car, and he was, George is about 6'2", 6'3", and this guy was about your size.
Oh, wow.
And he was looking up at George. George says, "I haven't forgot you." And he didn't do anything to him, but he said, "Yeah, I put the fear of God into him."
Yeah.
"I hadn't forgot that you beat me up in the fourth grade."
One of the, points of pride that you should have as a father was when your son made lieutenant.
Yeah.
How long has he been lieutenant?
Just appointed that. He was a sergeant, and then the new sheriff came on board and promoted him to lieutenant. And they've been friends since middle school. They've just been buddies, true buddies. So they had a good relationship. So I'm sure they'll work together very well. And then I decided to retire, and I could kick myself. I retired too early.
Okay.
I still had another term, but I'd made a promise to my undersheriff, Don Schneider, who was an excellent undersheriff, with his loyalty and doing such a good job that I would step aside and let him have the job. And seriously, I could kick myself for doing it that early, but I did. It was my decision. Then I ran for county commissioner and was elected to that. And I've been that for 4 years. And being a county commissioner, I think I would have been a better sheriff if I had been a county commissioner first, knowing what they have to put up with.
Right.
Versus just sitting on the sidelines and being a little critical of things that didn't go my way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's been an eye-opening experience. And
when you were in law enforcement as the county, what was your interface with the tribal officers?
Excellent. Matter of fact, we were the first police agency in Michigan that cross-deputized them. So I deputized them, their officers, and then they in turn swore myself and my deputies in, so as Native American officers. So there was a good relationship.
Does that still hold true today?
Yep, sure does. And I went to their academy. And it was the only thing that bothered me was they have a very small area to patrol. And their budget was bigger than my budget.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't resent that, but I thought that was just a little hurtful.
Yeah.
But, no, I won't go any further than that.
So what do you think the biggest change you've seen in our county has been over the last 35 years.
In law enforcement or just in general?
Both, if you...
Both,
yeah.
Okay. Well, in Charlevoix, for example, the county seat, very hard to communicate. Our portable radios probably wouldn't go from here to where the PD is now.
Okay.
That was probably the maximum range. Now our portable radios go countywide. And in Charlevoix, they didn't have portable radios. So if they had a fireman that stayed at the fire hall and they answered the phone, and that they had a large water tower in Charlevoix, if you're familiar with that or not, but been there forever, and they had a blue light on the very top of it. So if a call came in for the city officer was needed for a complaint or whatever, the fireman would turn on that switch and that blue light would blink. And that would tell the city officer to go back to the fire hall or call and find out what they were needed for. The communications was a big one. And we've had... we didn't have detectives back then. And they started with Region 10, which was a federal-supported funding. And Emma County got a detective. Charlevoix County got a detective. But when I was elected to pay me back, they took the funding away from my detective. So it's just kind of the payback for winning the election, another payback. But now we have three detectives, so it's it worked out.
Yeah, right, yeah.
The criminal justice system, the juvenile court judge, who is also the probate court judge, when I first elected, anybody could be a probate judge.
Hmm.
The local barber could be a probate judge if elected. And finally, that was changed, I think probably maybe late, mid-70s, that you had to be an attorney first. And we have been very fortunate to have excellent, in this county, very fortunate to have excellent judges and excellent prosecutors who are elected by the people. Judge Pytosh just retired, excellent circuit judge. Judge Harvey Barnum.
Yep.
In Boyne City.
We talked to Eleanor Stackis last week, and we were talking about how that was one of the biggest funerals that she's ever done.
Yep. And he was one of my favorite judges. He would, you could tell, he's a big guy to begin with, the black robe, and the judges sat about table high above everybody else on their platform. And when he got angry, he would stand up with that gavel. And he wasn't afraid to reprimand attorneys. He would just lay it on them. And one day I was just, since we had authority in the courts to provide bailiff service, and I was just checking on my bailiff. And he said, Sheriff, can you wait just a minute, please? He was sentencing a young man. And the Boyne City Police had caught this young man. We had a veterans park behind the Dairy Queen.
Yep. Hippie Park.
Hippie Park.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And they had a list of all the veterans that had served. Very fine. And we now have that at the local Memorial Park and Veterans Park near the City Hall. And the police caught a young man. I'm not sure I can use this word.
You can use whatever word.
Urinating. And the police caught him and charged him with disorderly. And he came before Barnum, and Barnum was a veteran, and a very strong veteran. And that he was livid. He said, Sheriff, when do you go on Saturday? Well, when the judge asks you something like that, I got nothing going on.
Right.
What can I do to help? And he said, I'm going to sentence this man, young man, to be at that monument 9 o'clock Saturday morning. He's going to bring a toothbrush, soap and water. And it was brick, large brick outcry of before the actual list of veterans. And he said he's going to scrub that, and I'd like for you to be there. Make sure he does it. And if he doesn't do it to your specifications, you let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tie up another Saturday for this young man. So he was there, and he scrubbed that that monument with a little toothbrush, soap and water, and he did a good job. He didn't want to come before the judge again. But he's a judge that I miss a lot. And if he would kind of discipline you in the court.
Mm-hmm.
He police. Mm-hmm. He disciplined me once. But within 30 minutes, he caught me in the hall and says, "Sheriff, don't be mad at me. I'm sorry." So he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And our prosecutors have been excellent. From Joe Hayes Sr. to Scott Beatty to Craig Lieberman, Scott Beatty, and just good people. So Charlevoix County has done well in selecting, I think, good people.
Yeah.
And you had a great chief of police here, John Tallboys, wonderful chief of police. And
George, let's briefly discuss jails. You were involved with the new jail in Charlevoix.
Yes, we had, they decided to expand the jail. It held 24 people, and so they wanted to expand it. So they hired a company to do the expanding, and they said, "Sheriff, how big would you like to see it?" I said, "I'd like to see it hold eventually 60 people. I'd like to look ahead 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "We don't use the beds right now. There's a lot of counties in this area who are overloaded, and they'll just subcontract the inmates out. So when we built the jail, we had plenty of room, subcontracted them out. Grand Traverse took about 15, 20 beds every month."
Wow.
And the first year, we cleared $250,000.
Wow.
Just from charging other counties to house. And the state of Michigan said, "We would like to house our state prisoners because we're overcrowded." And they gave a good fee. And I says, "No, I don't want to take state prisoners." And they said, "Why not, Sheriff?" Because it's a great way to make money. I said, "What happens? You know, they're here for a year or whatever, and they kind of make contact with the preachers that come in. We allow them to do that. The counselors that would come in. And realizing, hey, this is a good county. When their time was up, they wouldn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
They would stay, and their crimes would stay."
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "I don't want to subject the citizens to that kind of a situation. We have our own problems."
Mm-hmm.
"I don't want to inherit people from Wayne, Ingham, Genesee County coming up here." So even though it was a financial blow, I think it was the right decision to do.
Yeah.
Well, you've separated the jail proper from the main office in the location in Charlevoix.
Yes. We had, they were building two separate buildings, but connected.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was for the jail, and the other was for, it was just the sheriff's office. And the sheriff, it's not a department.
Mm-hmm.
It's strictly an office. And the reason is, city council, county commissioners, the state of Michigan can dissolve a department just like that.
Oh.
So an office is a state statutory office, and they can't do it.
Hmm.
So that's why I pushed, call us sheriff's office, we'll call us sheriff's department.
Okay.
Because we're that kind of an agency, can't be dissolved.
Sheriff's office, I'll have to remember that.
Explain something to me, because I really am lost in the different answers I've been given. The new substation in Boyden Falls is now named the Annex.
Yep.
Why did we lose the substation?
The substation was strictly for law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And the Annex, they now have an office there for the county clerk, the county treasurer can come in and use that building. So it's an Annex of the courthouse because they've added extra, and they're only there like maybe one day a week or something, but still providing that service to the east end of the county. And when I started the substation, the biggest expense was going to be a building.
Mm-hmm.
And bless Boyne Falls, they said, we got a building, and you can have it for nothing.
Wow.
We'll take care of the rent. We'll take care of the electricity, the heat. It's actually a building that they had kind of a small road commission, and they're taking care of the village.
Mm-hmm.
It's their office, but you can have half of it. And it was a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So did you find yourself having to be involved? I mean, because the county, I mean, it's pretty big area. Mm-hmm. So would you have to be involved in, you know, probably keep your eyes and ears open for all of the local elections and different things like that? Was that something that you were involved in?
Yes. Only to the extent we didn't want to look like we were interfering.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I was running for office, I didn't really want the deputies going to the precincts, making it look like maybe there was trying to force people to vote for George Lasseter. But we always visited every voting township at least once or twice a day during voting season, just to make sure they know we're here if things got out of hand. And once they did, and gentleman was not pleased with an ordinance, and so when he left the place to vote, this was Abilene Township, they had offered coffee to the people that came in to vote. He took his cup of coffee, threw it on the desk where the clerk was, and swore, and then took the rest of the coffee and flew it on the American flag that was standing there. And so they were livid. So I went to pick him up and charge him for being a disorderly person. And one of the funniest scenes I've ever encountered, he lived in this house and had a long porch and a place to enter here, a place to enter here, probably 50 feet apart. And I knocked on the door, and I could see him inside, but he wouldn't come to the door. And I knocked and knocked. And I started talking to him. I have to do this. You got to come out. It's going to be better for you if you give yourself up. And he disappeared. And so I'm still waiting on the porch in front of this door. He goes to the other door, and he opens the door, and he jumps out, and he says, boogity boogity boogity. And jumps back in. I says, oh boy.
Yeah.
This is not gonna be easy. So I eventually got him, and we had a trial. The judge, Judge May, bless his heart, had a good sense of humor. He said, Sheriff, would you please explain to the jury and show the jury exactly what happened? I says, Your Honor, do I have to? He says, yes, you have to. So I had to go through the commotions of putting my fingers in my ear, boogity boogity. He got convicted.
Oh, that's funny. So have you been pleasantly surprised with the citizens of Charlevoix County for the most part?
Very definitely. Very supportive.
Yeah. And you know, I might be a little naive in this area, and I know that we do have crime, but it seems like, for the most part, we have a lot of really good people.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would say it's probably 98%,
mm-hmm.
the 2% that create problems, and that's mm-hmm. not unusual. I know we had a church in the county that said that Charlevoix County needed to be diversified. There was too many white Americans living in Charlevoix County.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to broaden that. And I'm not arguing with that, but a reality indicated that they brought up a family from Detroit and 4 or 5 kids. And they got them housing, jobs, so forth. that was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those members of that family eventually were, I had every one of them in jail at one time.
Oh, gosh.
For multiple things. And then they in turn brought up their friends, neighbors, relatives, and really created some problems for the county. And the problems are still there.
But good intentions, but yeah.
Well, I can remember overhearing occasionally the call for send buses to the mountain when the parties at Point Mountain would get out of hand. And also the Loeb, the old Loeb farm, when that was rocking and rolling.
Oh my gosh. I got a chapter in my book on Castle Farms rock concerts. Wow. I couldn't print everything. I couldn't.
And so you had to deal with
every one of them.
Wow. Yeah. So you were happy when they stopped doing concerts there then?
I was not happy. It's the wrong word. I was ecstatic. Maybe that's
okay. Yeah.
But, that was the only show in town for Northern Michigan
that
time. And every top performer you can imagine was there. And we would have anywhere from 10 to 20,000 people. And the 20,000 was the population of this whole county in that one area. And do I have time to?
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of interesting stories. We had about 14,000 people for this one concert. And the performers were two guys that were performing. And they were nationally known.
Was it Alice Cooper? Rock?
Kid
Rock? No, he was there.
Kid Rock?
No, that was before Kid Rock's time.
So like Alice Cooper, maybe Ozzy Osbourne?
He was there with another one.
Okay.
But it's not the one. It's two guys. I can't think of their names. Anyway, it was raining, storming. And the owner, who did not like me, sued me, I think, three times. And he came out and said, Sheriff, these guys won't perform, and I got 14,000 people here. And I need to get these guys to come down. And they said they wouldn't come down and perform unless you pick them up at the Weather Vane Motel. And I didn't owe him any favors whatsoever. He'd made my life miserable. So I said, trying to be a good guy. Okay, I'll go get them. So I went and got them. And they said, can we lay down in the back of this patrol car and throw a blanket over us? Because if our patrons see us, they'll probably riot us and hurt us. So, whatever makes you happy. So, drove through the crowd to the back of the stage and let them out. He says, no, we're not through with you yet, Sheriff. I says, what in the world? Do I have to perform with you guys?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, we want you to go on stage with us. Just in case people get out of hand and come up on the stage and try to hurt us because we're an hour and a half late. And I said, well, why aren't you performing? He says, well, it's lightning. And a good friend of ours was just electrocuted in a lightning storm performing on a stage. Okay, I can relate. I can understand that. So they set me down in the very back and by the drummer. And they performed. And it was... my hearing has never been the right same since then. But I have the whole night watching them. I wish I could think of their name because they're very popular. Two guys. Anyway, when it was over, I had to drive them back to the motel on the back seat of the car, covered up with a blanket so no one would see them.
Oh, jeez.
Give us a little knowledge on one of the. I shouldn't say secret, but one of the unknown history of Charlevoix Sheriff Department when the Sheriff Department had an airplane.
Oh boy. When I inherited an airplane, and it was a surplus, Korean War surplus, and it was called a Beaver. airplane. And it was designed specifically before helicopters became very popular, because they could take off in such a small runway. And the engine, oh my gosh, the engine on that Beaver was about as big as this desk. It was huge. It took up about, trying to visualize it, like almost a third of the airplane.
Wow.
And we kept it on Beaver Island, mainly to, if they had a medical emergency, they would fly them over on the Beaver. And it could be used for anything we felt necessary. And I don't think I ever used it except for removing people from the island that were having a medical emergency. And it was well maintained. The pilot was also the in-house deputy sheriff on the island. Mm. So he maintained it. He was a World War II pilot and took care of it. And the commissioners, which I will not mention any names, one of them decided, well, the sheriff doesn't need that airplane. We got rid of his detective and we can get rid of his airplane.
Mm.
So we had a decal on the side, sheriff's office. And so they put it up for auction. And they, a fellow in Miami bought it. And unbeknownst to the county commissioners at that time, he used it to fly drugs back and forth from Miami to the Bahamas.
Oh my gosh.
And when he would land, law enforcement at that time would not question him because we have this nice sheriff star on that side.
Oh my gosh.
That was not a very good decision on their part. They should have at least made sure that decal was removed.
Exactly, scrape that thing off.
Because I had a DEA agent call me once and ask, do you have a Beaver airplane? I says, we used to. He said, are you aware that that plane is landing with drugs? I said, well, I'll pass that on.
Well, I think that, you know, that's a pretty good start for today, so I'm going to go ahead and stop it before the end.
Like I mentioned, I had to knock on over 100 doors to tell someone that their family member had been tragically killed.
Mm.
And, you know, I look back on those, and it's almost like when I pulled into the part of the driveway and went to the door, like they knew.
Mm.
They knew. George is not here for a social visit. Something tragic has happened, and I could almost see it in their eyes.
Mm.
But what's made me, if there's any way of having a good feeling about that, I've had quite a few, well, let's just say several, that have approached me since then, Sheriff or George, the way you handled that really meant a lot to us.
Mm.
The fact that you came out meant a lot in the way you handled it. Because I wouldn't just give the message and leave. I would stay until I make a phone call to get a family member or someone to come. And people appreciate that, those small things,
mm-hmm.
the added things that you do, not just giving the message and walking back out the door. So
and I might be a little bit biased, but I think there's really something special about people who are teachers and who, you know, you have a heart that is for people, I think, you know. And so being raised by a teacher, knowing that you were a teacher, I'm sure that you brought a lot of that to the job as well.
That's a good observation, because I think you're right. And I think teachers, and I can quote myself, teaching the fourth and fifth grade, I said to myself, you know, if this young person doesn't change their ways, they're going to end up in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was so on target with that.
Because
mm-hmm. I had some of those people, one that I can think of specifically, that I knew at the time in the fourth grade, he's headed. And sure enough, I had him in jail.
Mm, yeah.
So teachers get a good feel for the community.
Yeah, yep.
And it's so it's really fun for me, like on July the 4th or whatever, I'll be walking down the street and I'll have someone tap me on the shoulder and I'll turn around. They said, Mr. Lassiter, do you remember me?
Aww.
And of course, they've grown up into a attractive young lady or a handsome young man. I says, oh, but give me a little hint.
Yeah.
And they'll tell me, of course I remember you. And we talk and talk. And those are pluses.
Yeah.
For a teacher to have people come up.
Yep.
And do that.
Well, that is, and from my perspective, that is a trait of the old guard more than the younger people today. Because my wife sees that in school. It's the teacher that's in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that is supportive of everything that the school does. A lot of the teachers today have not learned that, and their job is from 7:15 to 4:20, and the door slams shut.
Yeah.
And yet, it's the old guard that will instill this in the young people. That's why we need the interface badly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know, like I said, I grew up in this small town in Arkansas, my mother was a fourth grade teacher, and everyone loved Grace Lassiter. She was just the epitome. The Lord put her on earth to be a teacher, no doubt in my mind. And I've always been a fan of the statement, it takes a village to raise a child. And if I did something, and I did things I shouldn't have done when I was growing up, and they would say, I don't know your name, young man, but your mother is Grace Lassiter, the teacher, and she's going to hear about this. And sure enough.
You couldn't get away with anything your whole life. I bet you in Charlevoix County, you can't get away with anything here.
That's very true.
Yeah.
This was something that I was told later on, but I lived in Horton Bay.
Oh, yeah.
And I would drive to the county seat every morning in the patrol car, and I always drive the speed limit. Always. Even today I drive the speed limit. I irritate people because I drive the speed limit. I'm held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
It'll be 4, 5, 6 cars behind me going to Charlevoix the same time I'm going. So many of the times I just pull off the road. Sometimes I wouldn't. And it seems like 90% of those people were going to the same factory to work. And they go, why are you late today? Well, I got behind Sheriff Lassiter and he won't speed up. So it became a policy for this particular factory. If you were late in the morning because you were behind Sheriff Lassiter, you weren't penalized.
That's funny.
Small town America.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. All right, Eddie, what do you think? Think we're good?
I think we're